Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, truvysalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
There was an email on April 16th, an email exchange between you and NIH Director Francis Collins. The email sent to you said conspiracy theory gains momentum. And this, again, was the idea of the lab leak. Those emails, though, as you can see on the screen, or I can see on the screen, was all redacted between you and Francis Collins. Yeah. Do you happen to remember? Do you remember
John,
what was in the email?
John, they only took about 10,000 emails from me. Of course I remember. I remember all 10,000 of them. Give me a break.
but to be clear, you're saying you don't remember, or you can't tell us what was in the body of that exchange.
I don't remember what's in that redacted, but there. I mean, the idea, I think, is quite far-fetched that the Chinese deliberately engineered something so that they could kill themselves as well as other people. I think that's a bit far out, John.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com.
RadioSaintPete.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
See, this is good news for Will.
Why? What do you mean?
That is a tweet that it would be very believable that Galvin would write it. I think I know Galvin's style a little bit better. That's why I didn't think it was him. Definitely a tweet that I would write, and it was Will. So it leads me to believe that Will is the next generation of greatness on this radio station.
I like that.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the show. 813-693-2124, HMBRadio.com, home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. Follow Radio St. Pete while you're there. Radio STPETE. Oh, boy. What do I got for you this week? Well, we got COVID-19. Now that the pandemic is slowly coming to an end, it would appear there's just more news about how it all started. Back in April 2020, I had a podcast talking about the smearing of public officials who dared to say, maybe we shouldn't discount the possibility that maybe this escaped from the lab in Wuhan and not a wet market. I mean, just maybe, I don't know. That was Senator Tom Cotton, essentially what he said, and was just berated by the Washington Post, assorted other outlets about parroting conspiracy theories. How they knew this was a conspiracy theory, I don't know. They just said that it was. And what they do is try to memory hole you too, right? So they'll go into, if you look at that story from the Washington Post, people can screenshot stuff and there's way back machines and you can find the original stuff. They stealth edit these things, try to memory hole you into thinking that you're crazy. So that article that said he's repeating conspiracy theories now reads that a theory that is disputed now. So it's not kooky weirdo stuff anymore because now it's right out in the open. They switch the headlines around without telling you, and it makes you question your sanity. But yes, now we are in the that was Anthony Fauci, the head of the NIH infectious diseases and allergy whatever part of the government, and he was talking to CNN about the maybe it's possible that this was something that came from a lab in Wuhan, and you know, this would get you thrown off, you know, Twitter a few weeks ago if you dared to say anything like this, and now it's okay because it just becomes undeniable. It becomes undeniable. What evidence had really surfaced as of a few days ago? Really nothing until Anthony Fauci's emails were released through the Freedom of Information Act, 8,000 of them, and one of them he talks about speculation from some of his colleagues that this looks like it may have been tinkered with a little bit. It doesn't look like it's natural. Not saying that it is or isn't. I certainly don't know, and I don't think they really know either, but they're not discounting the possibility of this. Now, I had spoken with, back when this was all going down, right when it started, April, May 2020, the radio station I work for had asked us to do weekend coverage. Be there for people. You know, we had on some local politicians. We had on doctors, you know, from the University of South Florida, virologists, epidemiologists. And, you know, off the record, one of these USF doctors said, yeah, I have a colleague who says that one of the spike proteins is identical to HIV. I went, oh, that's weird, isn't it? And he goes, yeah. But we kind of just left it at that because we were more just like, we don't know what this does. You know, how bad is it going to be? It was just something that was in the back of our minds. That maybe we'll look at this later on, but right now we have more important fish to fry, which is surviving and trying to keep people informed and calm and, you know, whatever. And we didn't want to scare people at that point. It's not something that he wanted to go on the record with, which I don't blame him because he probably would have been fired from his job and called a lunatic if he dared to say such things out loud, which is a whole other issue. But we found out that, yeah, maybe it's looking more and more like this is a possibility. We even had journalists pushing back on it this week. The New York Times COVID-19 journalist who's covering COVID-19 for the New York Times, she said that this is a racist idea. Of course, you know, an easy straw man to set up and tear down to get your way. What do I need to say to get you to do what I want? Why she was so against, I don't understand what these people have against the truth other than having an agenda and not only a bias that they're trying to produce these results, but why? I don't know. That's some journalist should investigate these journalists and figure out what the hell, what is their allegiance to China? China. I certainly don't know. I have my suspicions, but they're all kooky conspiracy theories right now. So I don't want to get thrown off the internet, so I won't go too far into them, but she claimed that the idea that the coronavirus leaking from the lab was racist. How is it racist? I don't know. It seems to me that it would be more racist having it come from a wet market in China because they have unsanitary conditions in these savage meat markets that they have down there. But that's fine, I guess. It just doesn't, none of this makes sense. None of it makes sense. Over the weekend, I felt like right after I released this podcast, the Daily Mail came out with an exclusive story about these two Norwegian scientists that did a study, and they said, yeah, this looks like it was made in a lab. And it looks like that China tried to quickly engineer something to cover it up, having escaped from there. Anthony Fauci in the interview says, no, it doesn't make sense. That why would China release something on purpose to kill themselves and us? Nobody said they did it on purpose. again, setting up a straw man and tearing it down. It was probably an accident. The problem is that this lab has now been shown to do gain-of-function research. Gain-of-function research, is, of course, has nefarious capabilities, sure, but it also has, you know, good outcomes of having vaccines being developed easier. They make them more transmissible, and then they're able to, however they do that science stuff, which is, I don't have the IQ for, but they're able to make vaccines. Anthony Fauci was saying, yes, it is a risk that these things could leak, but the pros outweigh the cons, essentially, which he might be right on. But now we have, he denied that they were doing this research there. And the problem is, I think he's trying to cover his own ass, because it doesn't have to be on purpose. But if he gave the money to these people and they said, oh yeah, we won't do that, wink, wink, nod, nod, and then they went ahead and did it either with his knowledge or without his knowledge, well, he's either, I don't think he's malicious necessarily, but it shows that he's incompetent. And if he's incompetent, then he shouldn't keep his job. He shouldn't have that job anymore. He is a swamp creature bureaucrat. He makes the most money in the federal government out of anybody. And maybe it's time for him to go after this whole thing. I would think that would be fair, at least, to say. However, the need to have your ideological enemies be wrong can sometimes outweigh your better judgment, as we are learning every day. We'll see. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com. Head over to the hmbradio.com store. It'll be up probably for a few more months, and then that's it. Limited run of a few products. We got hoodies, we got t-shirts, and a hat. Pretty cool hat. I saw pictures that a few people have sent me. Paul Dudley and Smokey420. I don't remember his name, his real name, but I remember his Twitter handle, Smokey420. So what's up, Smoke? My friend Bobby bought one, and he seems to be very happy with it. So thank you for getting those, guys, and get them while you can, because they're going to be gone real soon. hmbradio.com/store. Also on hmbradio.com in the news section, we got the story about Tom Brady finally acknowledging that he screwed up in Chicago on that infamous fourth down play. He talked about it on his TikTok, so you can head over there, watch the video, read a little bit about what happened with that. We also have the Florida man, the real Florida man. Seriously, the real Florida man was arrested in Florida. Find out about that at hmbradio.com. Please do share those articles with your friends. Pass along the word. And the HMB Radio brand, you know, that stuff really helps. Word of mouth is the best form of advertising, so I appreciate y'all doing that. Tweet it out, do that whole thing, and follow me on Twitter and Instagram. While you can, at @home_made_man.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioCP.com.
I'm so relieved. I think the girl across the street is moving.
Oh, yes.
She's moving. You've met this woman. I've met this woman.
But she didn't remember meeting you.
Well, here's what happened. So I think it was it 4th of July last year? There was some sort of holiday. They had just moved in a little while ago. And I said, I should introduce myself to this new neighbor. Mm-hmm. Plus, she was a pretty lady. And I figured, oh, I should introduce myself to this neighbor. Right, I don't know any of my other neighbors, but I wanted to know this neighbor. Mm-hmm. And she was intoxicated. You were over here. We're kind of sitting
there. She was walking a dog.
Part of COVID. Yeah, she was walking a dog. COVID was still going on. Peaches is the dog's name, I remember. And she was very nice, and she was stumbling around a little bit. And she says, oh, my God, you all should come over sometime, referring to you and I.
Oh.
You don't remember?
I don't remember the conversation. I was just kind of letting you do your thing. I stayed back. I wanted it to be known that we were not, you know, a couple or anything.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be a C block, you know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, yeah, she goes, oh, y'all should come over. I go, yeah, great. And we left it at that. She went and disappeared, took little peaches, and, you know, went around the corner. That was it. Now, I saw her a few days after this out in a driveway.
Because you were not blacked out, you remembered her.
I remembered her. And I didn't really know that she was blacked out, but I said, hello. And I said her name. And she kind of stopped in her tracks and went, hi. And I was like, how's it going? And she goes, fine. I went, okay, have a good one. And I kind of left it at that. And then it struck me. She didn't know who I was.
No,
she
not
thought
at all.
I was some. Now I'm the creep that lives across the street that for some reason knows her name and she doesn't know who I am. And there's another girl she lives with and she's probably like, oh my God, the creep across the street.
Right. This old guy.
I don't think. She probably doesn't think I'm that old.
This weird ogre across the street. I'm just kidding.
So now I'm like, oh great. Now I'm creepy guy across the street now. Yes, and yes. I've treated myself accordingly ever since. I've stopped myself. If she's out there, I've stopped myself. I've waited until she goes inside so right. I can leave the house because I don't want to be the creepy guy.
I mean, think about it. You got a lot of creepy things going on. You're growing tomatoes out of your trash can.
It's a compost.
It's goddamn trash, dude. You're growing tomatoes. You're growing a garden
in
the trash.
What do you think you grow plants in? It's dirt.
I know, but usually it's like a separated garden. It's like it's weird that you put trash in and then you also take food out.
That's how nature works.
And that's literally what you're doing.
Nope, that's how nature works. That's
to the pretty girl across the street walking a dog.
Listen,
walking peaches.
I didn't plant. The thing that's growing out of my compost, life finds a way. And it must have been a discarded tomato seed that made its way through nature's glory and sprouted. I mean, what am I supposed to do?
I don't think your neighbor cares about that because remember, you're the creepy guy. So she's looking for all the red flags and tomatoes in the trash is a red flag.
Tomatoes in the trash is a red flag. And okay, well, fair enough. But I'm still getting nice tomatoes off this tree. Off this plant for free out of the garbage heap. So whatever.
But how do you know she's moving?
I saw her taking boxes out to her vehicle with a man. So I'm assuming that she's moving in with this man who has a very obnoxious vehicle. I hate his car.
What is the car?
It's like a new Camaro or something.
I don't know why I asked. I don't know any cars.
It's just, it looks like a Transformer.
Is this a sedan?
I don't think so. I think it's a two-seater, sports car.
Okay.
It looks like a Transformer. It's stupid. And it's loud.
Is it expensive?
It's probably like 60 grand,
That's a car.
But it's not expensive. I mean, for a car, not really. It's just a stupid car to have. It's not functional, and it's
not
loud.
That expensive.
It's
where
not
it's like,
that expensive.
Whoa, it's a Ferrari.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It's a stupid car to have.
Yeah.
It's not it's not a 70s Camaro or something cool.
I hate them.
Yeah. They stink. But good riddance. They're going to be leaving pretty soon. The fat girl across the street is still there.
She knows her name.
I don't think so. I think she thinks I'm a creep, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
She can whatever.
Yeah. But much like I said, I mentioned briefly that I was not a C block. I also want to talk about how I was not a C block over the weekend because I'll never be that. By the way, never the we came together. We have to leave together.
You want to guide the C's. You don't want to block the C's.
Absolutely. Especially now, I will be a quote C blocker if that's what is needed in the sense of I'm saving a friend.
Right.
Then we can use that excuse like we came together, we leave together. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if both parties want to engage in coitus or other things, sexual things, who am I to get in the way of two adults having a good time?
You'd be a bad person.
I would be a bad person and a worse friend.
Yes.
And I'm not that.
No.
But we kind of had a situation like that over the weekend. We're obviously not going to name names, but there was a little situation.
There was a situation. There was people who
met
and alcohol was, flowing at least on one end of that spectrum. And
sure.
Things happened. You had a person that was visiting in town from a foreign land.
Yes.
And she took full advantage.
Absolutely. And I didn't. You kind of stumbled upon a private conversation that really wasn't meant for your ears, but you ended up hearing it and you told me what was being discussed.
Yes.
Basically plans for the evening, possibly.
Plans for the evening. Now I wanted to be a not a C blocker, but the wingman. I was trying to facilitate this and I tried to facilitate it even earlier. Like, hey man, you should bang this lady. Because
you said that to your friend.
Yeah. And he said, why, initially, and I go, because you're a single man?
With a P penis.
Yeah, and I mean, I would do it if I could. Uh-huh. And he said, okay, and then he kind of looked there. And then the alcohol started flowing a little bit on his end. He gets much more brazen and available.
And when, just talkative in general.
Yes, yes. So he ended up, things happened, and I did one last effort to, I brought him some seltzers. You know, I wanted to do that. And as
you're,
I was approaching,
you're a great host, by the way.
Yes, thank you. And I was I brought the seltzers, and as I was approaching, I heard, "Would you like to come home with me?" And I was like, "Oh,
and wait." The second part was, "You don't have to if you don't want to."
You don't have to if you don't
if
want
that's
to.
That's not implied.
The always always pleasant gentleman. That is my friend, letting her know, making her comfortable.
Yeah, hey, I'm not going to rape you if you say
yes,
no.
Yes, that it is her choice to be pounded.
An ally.
Yes. So they did, and it was a great time, I think, for both parties.
Yeah, but what was funny, though, is that I think you overheard that she said, "I came with my friend. This is weekend is about us hanging out, and I don't want... You know, I don't want to ruin that or get in the way of that or mess up our plans for tomorrow." And you came in and you told me what was said, and I was and it's very confusing at that point because it's like, is she using me as an out to get out of the situation, or does she really feel guilty about leaving me for the evening? Because for any future visitors, you will never make me feel bad by leaving. And that's, I say that to the people I love, whether it be a family member or a dear friend. Unless we only have like 24 hours together, by all means, if you want to take off for the evening, trust me, I will be fine on my own. Mm. I prefer it, actually, just to be
left
alone.
I don't want to be an excuse.
No.
Certainly not. No.
So I took your friend's advice. She said, have a little PM, have a little private meeting with your friend. And ask her what's the dealio.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, and I was honestly kind of surprised. I thought she was using me as an out, and she didn't really want to do anything because I can usually read her pretty well, and I wasn't really thinking that she was super into your friend.
Yeah, I didn't really get that impression either. But
once I think he had made it known that he was sexually interested in her, she became sexually interested in him, and. When I asked her, I said, like, hey, I heard there might be something going down. How are you feeling? Do you want to go? And she goes, this is what she did. She went, well, kind of. And I went, oh, get in there, sister. Take that horse to pound town. Let's go. So I was like, I know you're a friend, so I felt very comfortable. Like, he's a good guy. She's going to be in good hands.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So I wasn't like, who's this man? You know, it was
right.
Great. And
right.
I, within about 7 minutes, I was gone. Bye. See you later.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm glad someone got some ass. I think I probably got some more details than you did.
Yeah, I would love to hear them off screen. Guys always get the stereotype that they kiss and tell, but I gotta tell you, not really a peep. Just heard that he had a terrific time. It was a lovely evening, is what he said.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, I feel like your friend is a little bit of an outlier because he's a man of very, very few words. But I feel like most guys, and maybe I'm wrong because I am not a guy and I don't have guy-on-guy conversations, but of what I know, it seems like guys will give you the gist like, oh, we banged, but then there's really no more details, or is that not untrue?
Yeah, I guess we're not talking about, you know...
Because girls are very detailed when they...
Okay.
Give information. It's not just we banged. It's like, how long? What he did. He turned me over. And this. And you feel like you were there. Like you're watching a feature film. Which
right.
is kind of cool.
Yeah. No, I guess I guess we don't really chit chat.
Yeah.
Like
that's
that.
A women's game.
Yeah.
It's a women's game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I found it interesting with your friend. I met her once before on a previous trip. And I really liked her worldview. I found her worldview fascinating.
How so?
Because it made me feel like I could be anything. And it made me feel that way because I could just lie about stuff.
I feel like the dumbass because You can just lie.
If you can lie. You,
and I, to people listening, they're like, yeah, duh. But in my mind, I strive to be certain things. I feel like there are shortcomings. I feel like I'm constantly reminded of shortcomings when people ask me how I'm doing, how much I'm making, you know, how I feel about work, whatever the case may be in my life. You can just lie, and that is the new reality.
Manifest that reality.
You don't even have to manifest it. You can just say it. It's very much like the Seinfeld episode when George tells people he's an architect because he just...
Yes.
I can just say I'm an architect. I don't have to actually be an architect. And
totally.
Here's the effed up part is that you get the same social credit.
Yes.
Because no one at a dinner party or like a, you know, the hang that we had a few days ago, it's not like, you know, people are fact checking what you're saying. If someone says I'm an architect or maybe even a scientist, people will just take you at your word.
Right.
And then leave with that information that you are a scientist and just walk around being like, oh, I met this person and they're a scientist or they're an architect.
Also, in those social settings, nobody cares. No. Nobody really cares. No. I think it's very superficial interest of, oh, you're in real estate. Okay. That's what's up. That's a hot market right now. That's kind of cool. And then they move on from that. So you get the illusion of, you know, you can say whatever you want
it's
and have
a
it
win-win.
Be.
Win-win.
Yeah, it really
is.
It's
a win-win because that person is impressed with you for 4 to 6 seconds, and they think that they're talking to somebody that's important or that is motivated or has good qualities or someone to know.
Yep.
And then you get that hit because you see that they're impressed by or somewhat interested in what you do, even if it's a lie. So both parties really win. And there's really no need to actually try and be the thing that you said you are. I mean, we're talking about like career and livelihood, but really with anything, you can just lie.
You
if someone says, what's your body count? And you don't want to say, oh, I've banged 50 guys. You could say seven. And that's the reality. I banged 7 guys.
There's no way to fact check it. There's no incentive.
Walking around telling the truth like an idiot, Will. Like,
there's very little incentive.
What have I been doing all my life? Like, I'm dumb.
There's very little incentive. Very little incentive to tell the truth. There's no real. The only thing that's making you tell the truth is this feeling that you have to and that you should. But although, you know, even people I consider myself truthful. It may not always be factual with certain things. That's how people skirt around these issues. It's, you know, there's some truth in it, but it's not like a fact.
It's factual, but not truthful.
Right.
The opposite.
Right. Yeah. So you're technically
correct, but you're being purposely misleading.
When you pull out not in a sexual way, but in a, you know, when you zoom out on the graph, you know, it makes it seem like there's not much change, and then when you zoom in, there's a lot of change, you know, on the lines.
Resolution.
Right.
It's a low resolution answer.
Right.
Maybe real estate.
Boom. Yeah. So what?
I mean, I'm thinking you're an agent, but you're actually, you do other stuff.
Yeah. So you rent your condo, you know, on
That's
Airbnb.
Real estate.
That's technically
real
not
estate.
A lie. It is true.
Yeah. Hey.
It's just a low resolution answer. So it's not a lie.
No.
It's truthful, but not really factual, right?
It's intentionally misleading, but who cares?
Not really. I mean, it's just a way to skirt around.
But it's the thing is, we both know what we want. Like, you know, like if I say I'm in real estate, you're assuming that I'm a real estate agent, and I know you're assuming I'm in a real estate agent. You know what I mean?
Probably, but, yeah.
You know, whatever.
However, you could say, oh, no, I have
properties and I rent them out. That's fine.
I travel and I rent Airbnbs.
Done.
That's what I do. Done. I'm in real estate.
Done deal. Yeah.
You know, that's what I do. I broker deals on an Airbnb application on my phone.
So what do you feel like you are at a disadvantage because, and I'm speaking for myself, but do you feel like you're in a disadvantage because you have a conscience that screams at you? Like, to be truthful and to be honest. And again, everybody lies. I lie all the time. I said I was going to be here at 3. I got here like 3:45, please. But I mean, like, and we talked about lying on resumes, but when it comes to misleading people that are somewhat close to us, like, I don't know. I feel like I have a conscience that won't allow me to get away with certain things because it makes me feel sick. Like, there's, I feel like I have a certain level where I have to start being truthful, or I actually have to start making moves. I can't just tell people, oh, I do radio and I really didn't. I actually have to do it in order to tell people. I can't just lie about it, you know? Do you feel like that is, that we're at a disadvantage if we're plagued by a conscience that won't allow us to
be misleading? It certainly doesn't
help.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be, I find it to be a virtue. And I don't know, that's obvious, it doesn't come from a place of, like, I'm not particularly religious.
Yeah. Or even spiritual.
I think I'm spiritual.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, maybe not. But I just feel like it's a good, it inside my mind and in my heart, it says that that's the right thing to do. You know, and I don't know where it comes from. I don't really believe that it comes from some higher power or anything necessarily.
No, I mean, I'm as atheist as they get.
I think it's just important. I find it to me, it just rings that it's an important thing to tell the truth.
Well, I think it's like, and we discussed this before the show, we want certain things from other people. So I feel like if I want somebody to be truthful and authentic with me, I feel like I owe them at the very least to be truthful and authentic with them. I cannot expect them to tell me the truth about their lives when I'm lying about my own.
Be the change you want to see in the world, right? That's the Gandhi quote.
Yeah. Oh, that wasn't Hitler?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it was. I gotta be careful.
I thought that was Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, I don't believe so.
That's weird that you just quoted him.
I thought
that you just quoted Adolf
Hitler. I didn't know you were kidding. At first, I really didn't. This is how jaded I become by the world, where I'm like, oh, God. Oh, my Lord. I just quoted Hitler on here. I'm going to get fired. And
He did want change.
Oh, he sure did.
He did put it in effect.
Yes. Yes, he did. He was a special man in a bad way.
He had a solution for things.
He did, a final one. But no, that's the Gandhi quote, I'm pretty sure, that you want to be the change. So, yeah, I like to model myself as what I would like to see in other people. It never comes true, though. I mean, it's a fruitless act because everybody else goes, ha-ha, stupid. I can just be whatever I want. I've manifested this world in which I'm in real estate, and I do all these important things. I'm worthwhile. I'm perfect the way I am. And these people control the world.
Yeah. And what's even more upsetting and disturbing about, I'll speak for myself in my situation, is I'm an atheist. So I don't even feel like at the end of the day when, you know, it's judgment day and I need to go to heaven or hell, like, I don't even believe that exists. So me being truthful isn't even going to get me into heaven.
Right.
I'm just being extra super stubborn for no reason, which is stupid. Because if I didn't even believe in heaven and, you know, being a good person and God is watching me, I don't believe in any of that stuff.
Well, why do you do it then?
I just feel like I want those things from other people.
Yeah.
And I cannot expect things from other people if I'm not doing that myself. I was telling you this before we started. I really don't have a problem with cheaters. I really don't have a problem with liars, because I can sniff that stuff out and then I can discard them. What upsets me the most about people is hypocrites, hypocrisy, people who say one thing and do another, people who make rules for thee and not for me. If people are upfront and say, I'm better than you, I'm going to do what I want, they tell their intentions and I know what's on
their
mind.
They're honest.
They're at least honest.
They're honest.
They're honest, and they're saying, listen, there's different rules. I'm a politician. I get away with stuff you can't. I would have so much more respect for that person, because they're like, this is the MF in game. You know what I mean? This is what we're doing. But when people say, like, well, I want authenticity, and I want people to be genuine, and I want people to be sincere, and then they just lie compulsively, you go, what? You're not following the rules, the standards that you had for yourself, and you're expecting other people to come to the table with, this is my truth and I'm authentic and this, that, and the other, but you're not even meeting the standard that you set for other people. So, I mean, I'm all about leading by example, and I try, when it occurred to me, you know, pretty recently, you know, I'm trying to date and meet people now, and instead of worrying about, like, well, I want a guy that's this and I want a guy that's that, I told myself, while I'm looking, try to be all the things that you find attractive about other people. You want someone who's generous, be generous. You want someone who works hard, work hard. You want someone who's disciplined, be disciplined. You want someone who has a good body, get a good body. Like, I'm trying to do all those things so that I can't expect something from someone else that I am not giving forward myself. I don't know where this came from. I mean, I was raised in a pretty like ethical home, but I feel like, I mean, even when it comes to close family members, it's different. So I don't know what it is. I think it also comes with being like a logical person.
Mm.
When you start to reason things down and you start working with, you start turning ethics into a math, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then you stop working on emotion and you start working on logic. Then you go, okay, well, if I do expect this from someone, I need to start
thinking it through.
Yeah.
And certainly not everybody is doing that.
No, God, no.
Emotional reactions or they're getting manipulated into, you know, trusting certain people and this could go into a bunch of different directions, but they're very malleable, most people. And they don't really have any foresight whatsoever.
An empty vessel. We know many people like this.
Oh, sure. 1,000-yard stares all day long. Yeah. That there's just nothing there. And
they really don't have like a set of
And they have a
principles.
Lot of confidence, too. Super, super high confidence now. I see people on the internet. You send me people, fat women with oxygen tanks on, that are saying that they're upset at their doctors because they're telling them that they're unhealthy.
Their doctors are fat shaming them.
They're fat shaming them when, I mean, she's clearly dying. She's in her early 20s and she's on oxygen. And it's
she's
just like
my favorite one.
But this is the, it's common. She's an extreme of that ilk. But this attitude is very common. It can't possibly be me. I'm not the problem because they're told that I'm great. You're great the way you are. You're special. You're unique. You deserve the best.
Yeah.
But it's like, do you deserve, like, what are you doing to facilitate?
And when you question them, they've never been asked that before. Like when you ask someone who says constantly, well, I deserve the best. Well, I deserve the best. If you were to say, well, why? I honestly don't. I think that they would just get like,
they would be offended.
It'd be like, well, they'd be like, like they would not even know what to, their brain would start to glitch.
They would be offended by it.
Of course.
How dare you say such thing? They've been told.
Like, isn't it obvious? Like, well, no. Can you articulate it for me? Because I work really hard for everything that I have, and still I think it's not enough. And how am I going to get this job, or how am I going to attract this guy? And, you know, it's not even his fault if he's not. And, you know, and it's this me, egocentric sort of way of going through life. And it, to me, it's mind boggling. And I know I was discussing it with you, cause I don't, let's just talk about like the dating apps for a second. I'm not perusing women. So I kind of have an idea of what's out there, but also not really. I know the fish pics. I know, you know, the mirror
shirts
selfies,
off.
Right.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I'm at the gym. You kind of see a little bit of the bulge, whatever it may be.
Uh-huh.
That's what I know. But you know, you were telling me that a lot of these women just expect like the best, and they think that they are tens when they're really sixes.
Well, and it's not, I think they come to this revelation on the apps because all of a sudden they start getting attention and they go in, and I think a lot of them don't have confidence because they're on a dating app and they're saying, I'm single. Why am I single? I'm getting on the app. And all of a sudden they start getting this attention, and it's mostly from men. Unfortunately, it's part of our biological nature where we want to stick it to as many things as we possibly can. And those apps have really facilitated that for men, being able to just hook up with women. Now, so women get attention from people they probably shouldn't get attention from, the men that are probably better than them, have outclassed them in certain ways, whether it be
looks or
yeah, money, whatever. But men are kind of, they're trying to stick it wherever they can, especially as younger men. So they start getting this attention. They go, man, I thought I was a 6. Turns out I'm a 9. I'm getting like these really hot dudes that are, you know, match with me. And then they have an overvalued self-worth at that point.
It's recalibrated incorrectly.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder if the reason why I'm so grounded in that way is because I have such an extensive background in evolutionary psychology. I'm familiar with the male sexual psychology.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we've talked about dating apps. They've done studies with dating apps and things like that. And so it's very apparent to me that, yes, of course, guys want to spread their seed as much as possible, especially when it comes to short-term dating. Guys are not very selective. I mean, there's a few where they go, I can't. But if it's just like a one-night thing, guys are like, whatever.
Whatever, sure.
They're not going to marry you, but like they'll stick it to
you. Absolutely, yeah.
So I'm very much aware of that. So when I get matches, if I'm outmatched or undermatched or I get a lot of matches, I know that guys are pretty much just swiping right indiscriminately, throwing lines everywhere, see what fish grabs on. I'm aware of that. So I've never had an inflated ego like, oh, this guy likes me. I'm like, he's just indiscriminately swiping. I assume that he's swiping right.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah, and that's well, you have you know, training with this, you have background with it, so you understand. But a lot of people don't. Yeah. A lot of people are empty vessels, as we talked about, so they don't understand, and they just go, "Oh, I'm hot." It turns out that I'm hot, and that gives me the leeway to be not a nice person. Let's just put it that way.
Because the way that women peruse these profiles. They read them, they think about it, they go up back to the first picture, they go down. So they think that men are also doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same problem with the D-pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guys are very visual.
Yeah.
They love seeing breasts. They love seeing butts. They love those pictures. So they think in their head, women want to see my penis.
Mm-hmm.
Let me send it to them because I like seeing their boobs. It's the same like cross, and women don't want that. Because we're not as visual as men. We need more of like a story. We need to feel secure. You know, we're looking at your profile. We're reading your bio. You know, guys aren't doing that. So it's this weird cross where when a guy selects us, we're like, oh my God, he must have read my bio and really just connected with what I was saying, like the thesis of my statement.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. And
right.
Same thing with D-pics. It's just getting wires crossed.
It's weird because there's such, you know, gives and takes with the apps, you know. I mean, they've been really beneficial in a lot of ways, but they've also been very destructive in a lot of other ways. So I don't know if I could choose to get rid of them, would I necessarily? Because I don't think that I would. I mean, in this modern world, they've been very beneficial in, you know, where people are working two jobs, you
moved
know.
Moved to a new place.
New place,
you
right,
see, you
right,
don't know
right.
anybody. That's definitely the
But
move.
Also, it's given you so much choice. Where I think back in the day, you would kind of marry the girl on your block because it was just a girl that was on your block.
And five options at best.
Yeah, at best in your whole life. And now it's a smorgasbord.
Mm-hmm.
And then the human brain doesn't work good with choice. So if you have more than three options at one time, you panic and you freeze. And it's been very detrimental.
Yeah.
Right, right, right.
You freak and then you end up choosing nothing. Or what I see a lot, especially with guys, but also with women as well, is that they don't want to commit because they're like, maybe if I hang on a little bit longer, I might find something even better.
Even better.
I've
right.
never thought that way.
Yeah.
I've always thought that like great people are very rare.
Mm-hmm.
So if I find one I like, I'm not like gonna latch on to you and not let you go. I'm not like a 5-stage clinger, but I have no interest to see anybody else if I find someone that I find to be unique and rare.
Which is super rare to find. When you do find that, it is. I thought I was kind of like that too, and it turns out I was just hanging out with a bunch of stupid B words.
I'd agree with that.
All right, follow Anna Hummel Radio. Follow myself at @home_made_man. That's it for the show. If you listen on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you very much. Please do tell a friend about it. Share it. My name is Will Koontz. It's been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Have a great week. Talk to you soon. See ya.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.